Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Day, the podcast that brings you New York football Giants content all day long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Tonight's episode of Big Blue All Day is not brought to you by anyone. Insert sponsor here. Don't forget our print content at bigblueallday.com and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because, you know, we're doing it live. Mac is back, and it feels great. Thank you, Roadhouse, but I'm taking the power chair.
Son of a bitch, is it?
We got Disciple, as always, and a Mr. Rawway Tommy. Boys, we got the bye week blues. So let's take a look back on tonight's episode at the Giants' first half of the season. We're going to do a little Daniel Jones discussion, as always, look at some trades, and finally, the back nine of the season.
I'm just happy to be 6-2, man. For Brian Daboll to start off his coaching career with a 750 win percentage, if my math's correct, that's pretty goddamn good. It's better than anybody expected. You know, according to the NFL Network, Cynthia Freeland, the Giants now have a 52% chance to make the playoffs. Take that what you will. But I think it's got to be playoffs, man.
I still think this is a team that's in full rebuild mode, and we were blessed to have a nice start to the season. Joe Shane, Brian Daboll, they're still building the team that they want to see, you know, 2-3 years down the road. You keep playing close games, and eventually things are going to not go your way. So we saw that this week. We saw some fumbles. We saw some bad plays. The bounces didn't go the Giants' way. And they lose the game, and it wasn't close. But they're 6-2. They win 3 more games and then finish 9-8. We sign up for that as Giant fans at the beginning of the year. Brian Daboll probably wins Coach of the Year. They go 9-8. But it's still a team we need to pump the brakes, look at it, enjoy it. But no, they're rebuilding. If it's not a good finish to the season, at least we had this start. Hey, I'm also looking at they could go 4-5 and finish 10-7. And you know what? While I still think they're a rebuilding team, what did Bill Parcells say? You are what your record says you are, so they are a rebuilding team, but they're a good team.
I mean, the schedule is not that hard. I think we could find ourselves 10-11 wins if we get a little frisky. I don't know.
Disciple, and you know every other team is looking at the Giants on their schedule saying, hey, they're it's not going to be that hard for us. But Tommy, I'm glad you found your sanity at the end of that diatribe. Two things can be true at the same time, right? You're right. Going into the season, our expectation was this was rebuilding. Hey, if they won 4 or 5 games, that would be fantastic. I thought 8 was the ceiling for this team. But we are now living in the present. The Giants are 6-2. This team, with this schedule, should be able to win 4 more games. Not making the playoffs would be a disappointment, but it wouldn't be a catastrophe. We're in an amazing situation. To just enjoy the ride, fellas. Like, as long as we are moving forward, we're feeling good. But
I just want to see the young players get a little better every week. Kayvon Thibodeau getting closer and closer to the quarterback. You know, he didn't have any, I don't think he had any sacks, but he was getting in. I watch him every defensive play. He's like the guy I really focus on.
Well,
yeah, man.
Let's elevate this discussion, though. We're talking a lot about wins and losses and disappointments and expectations. If we're talking about is this season a success or not, though, like what is the metric that we are evaluating this season? It is, has been, and will continue to be, is Daniel Jones the answer next year and or moving forward? Nothing else really matters. That is the biggest question mark. The Giants are the 5th least healthy team in the league, have one of the worst offenses right now and are playing with replacement players, and they have 6 wins. Daniel Jones' evaluation is far more important than wins, playoffs, whatever you want to say.
I mean, how much weight can we put into this season when your top receivers are Richie James, Marcus Johnson, and David Sills?
What do you mean? How much weight can you put in the season? Like
I don't know. I feel like these guys are like practice squad players on other teams. Are they not?
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. What's your point?
My point is if you gave him a supporting cast, like, I don't know, one of these other teams, he might be a lot better. I don't know.
Okay, so what you're trying to say, need to put on my Michael the Disciple translator hat here, I know it's been a little while, audience. I apologize. I've been gone. So let me see if I get this right. What you're trying to say is that it's a difficult...
Give him Jalen Hurts supporting cast. He's 7-0 too. I'm telling you.
So you're saying it's impeding our ability to accurately judge Daniel Jones' ability.
It might be. It might be. That's all I'm saying. It might be.
I mean, the offensive line needs to get healthy. You need to get Evan Neal back. I think the most important thing we need to see this year is growth. Growth for Daniel Jones. The offensive line needs to keep improving. They were playing with replacement players. They gave up 5 sacks this week. You know, Evan Neal was slowly starting to play better, but you have Neal's out, Breedson's out, Bellinger's out. You got Richie James. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. He has a concussion, but that cost us the game, those 2 fumbles. We got to find someone that could return punts and not put the ball on the ground.
Tommy, you said progress. Define progress for me.
I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Progress is 6-2. You know, the record is 6-2. Daniel Jones won us some games. A couple losses, Dallas, and this week, past week against Seattle. I don't think he cost us games. So we got to look at the schedule. We got to look at the games that have been played. What has he done?
So looking back at the first half of the season, let's jump right into it. 6-2, you're right, Tommy. I guess the record speaks for itself. Or does it? How do we feel about it?
You know, I look at the 2 big wins against the Packers and the Ravens, where we beat, you know, 2, you know, NFL MVPs. And a lot of that was those big drives in the fourth quarter against Green Bay. The big stop and turnover against the Ravens. You beat 2 quality football teams, and you beat the teams that you look at the schedule and, you know, we look back now and go, you should have beat those teams.
So, Tommy, I love where your head is at, and I love the optimism. And, you know, weeks ago, I probably would have agreed with you. But can we honestly say the Packers are a win that we should? Yes, a win's a win's a win.
But and in real time, though, that win felt so good.
Sure, any win feels good when we've been starved for anything.
No, no, no.
Like
to
decades.
Beat the Packers that have it, that we had, the Giants have not beaten the Packers in, what, 9 years? That's a big win.
Sure, but is it a good win? Like, yes, you can say that we feel good about that as a fan base for a variety of reasons. Even if the Eagles were the worst team in the universe, it still
you beat
feels
a Hall of Fame quarterback. You beat a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's a good win,
He's
bottom
not playing
line.
Like a Hall of Fame quarterback is all I'm saying. What have you done for me lately?
Dude, Randall Cobb had 100 yards receiving in that game.
All I am saying is that the Green Bay Packers in the year of 2022 are not the team that we are used to or expect to. And to compare them even to the Ravens as far as a quality win, I don't think it holds up right now.
They had a winning record when we played them, did they not?
Okay, but they don't now. Like what? And their win was against Tampa Bay.
Every game is in real time. It's not. We're not. We can't.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
I'm saying if the Giants played the Bears right now, they might not win, man, because Justin Fields is playing a lot better. You can't judge today's standards by games a month ago.
I just keep through. Unless there are massive injury differences, I think that's absolutely absurd. Like, yes.
It's all about momentum, dude.
Sure, and the Packers are – whatever, fine.
The Packers lost all. We killed their momentum.
So apparently, I am on an island alone, thinking that the Packers suck this year and that we shouldn't get jacked up.
They do. But I'm just okay. I'm not saying they don't suck, but I'm saying at the time when we beat them, they didn't suck.
I think that you're speaking nonsense. So why don't you just jump in then here? So Tommy's positive about the Packers and the Ravens. I can't take anything away from the Ravens game. What do you got, disciple, for me?
I mean, what do you want? We got quality wins. 6-2 record. I'm happy
about
it.
So both of you are just dancing with 6-2.
There's a possibility that it all collapses. I think a lot of Giant fans aren't prepared for that, but like it could get ugly.
Bullshit.
We don't know. It was nice. Like, think of all, wasn't it Tom Coughlin that started 6-2 in 2010 or something? And then they were 5-0 and they ended up going 10-6,
and
no playoffs.
Later than 2010, I think, but that's neither.
My only concern coming out of this week, and when you talk about disciple talks about it could take a turn for the worse, you know, I think Seattle showed the whole league, if you stop Saquon, you're going to have to, you know, make Daniel Jones beat you. And it didn't happen this week. So you're always looking at that if you stick eight in the box. Saquon Barkley got a touchdown, but let's be realistic. That touchdown that he got was because of that turnover by Tyler Lockett. We punch it right in.
We might lose that game 39-3. 39-6 or something without the turnover there. We were not moving the ball at all, man. I think we had 200 yards of total offense. If that, I mean, that's unacceptable, man. You knew you're going in a tough environment, but you got to be better offensively.
All of you are saying true things, and I think Tommy brings up a very interesting point, is that the book might be out on how to stop the Giants. Press the wide receivers at the line. Keep your gap, you know, containment and stack the box. But this is not the point that we're discussing here. It sounds that both of you are just happy with 6-2. And I, as a Giants fan, disciple, I agree with you. I am enjoying 6-2. I am happy. But here what we are doing is trying to objectively evaluate what is that 6-2? What is this roster? What is the reality of the Giants? And looking back at this, all I'm going to say is, just like the last few years, a couple balls bounce a different way, and we're looking drastically different about this team. So
the one thing we got going for us is the record's the record. There's no playoff committee. If we're 9-8 or 10-7 and that puts us in, we're in. So you look at these, well, we could have lost that game. We didn't play well in this game. The metrics look bad. They get to 10-7, 9-8. We're a playoff team.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
All right, that's enough about memory lane. Let's get to the piece that is most important. I think we can at least all agree on this. So let's bring in our weekly segment, the Daniel Jones Court. This entire season, gentlemen, is an audition. Is he the long-term answer? Is he anybody's long-term answer? As we've just discussed, Jones is 6-2. However, a new contract is not signed. The jury is still out.
I mean, you got to like that you've seen certain things, but in this modern NFL,
Give me some meat off that bone.
Some things. Where's the things? I mean, he's playing winning football. He has 5 game-winning drives. Those are nice stats. I mean, I just wish the Giants could score more, man. It just feels like it's like so hard to watch the Bills and the Chiefs and do all this. Even the Lions were putting up points. Like, can we put up 30 points like once, man? Once. I just want to feel it. I want to feel what it's like to have a good offense in this league.
Feeling it, Mr. Krabs. So, what is the metric though? How are we evaluating Jones?
I don't think it should be just on wins and losses. I mean, I don't know. Listen, man. I just don't know if – I'm not sure – here's the thing. I'm not sure if Daniel Jones' performance so far should warrant the Giants not trying to upgrade.
Okay.
And I don't think it's just wins. I think it's how you win the football games. Those 5 game-winning drives, last week I was leaning yes. Let's sign this guy. Let's work something out. Maybe it's a lower level deal. It's not that big money quarterback deal. Now, I've seen 1 week where if he doesn't have somebody else leading the charge, like a Saquon Barkley, we may not be able to win the football game.
Yeah.
Now I'm going no. I'm saying here's 20 to 25 million for a year or two on a prove it deal, because we're still going to be building that roster. We're going to improve it. We're going to put some more weapons around him. He's going to have a better wide receiving core. But I'm not giving him a long-term deal that's eating a large chunk of that $90-plus million cap space that we're going to have next year.
I mean, he's got to be the reason. He's got to be the – as Charles Barkley would say, he's got to be the driver of the bus, not the rider.
Okay, so let's break this down here. Let's see if we can find the forest through the trees. So, Disciple, you say that winning is not necessarily a quarterback metric. However, we still judge quarterbacks for it. So his rookie year, his last few years, anytime he did something good, the chorus, the drumbeat was Daniel Jones doesn't win. You got to win. Baker Mayfield ironically said it himself. You got to run.
He's the biggest loser of all of them.
They forget that sometimes you got to win. Okay. But now all of a sudden he's winning, and it's like, well, you know, we're not seeing him throw down the field, and, you know, the stat, you know, are we winning because of him? Anytime this kid does something that we ask, we move the goalposts. So again, I ask you, and Mike, you're going on mute. Tommy, what is the metric that we are evaluating Daniel Jones on? This progress on what is going to make you want a next contract? How do we evaluate him?
Like you said, we got to be winning because of him. We got to see that the offense needs to improve. We can't go out and throw for 170, 200 yards week to week and lose football games. It's one thing if he's rushing for 100 yards and throwing for, you know, a buck 50 and he's still getting the ball in the end zone. But, you know, that's not something that we've seen, you know, over the long haul in the NFL with quarterbacks. That's a sustainable way to win. So if he doesn't, you know, go for 100, he goes for 29 or so, which was what happened this week. He hasn't shown yet that he can go out there with just his arm.
So what I'm hearing from you is that stats do matter. His passing stats do matter. That is part of the evaluation here.
That and wins is all part of it. I think it all comes together.
Okay, so let's say this team wins another couple of games, gets to 9 or 10, and he has, I'll pull a number out of my tush here, 3,200 yards passing. He has his career in completion percentage, which he does right now, and throws 24 passing touchdowns. How does that go for you? Do we sign him? Is that enough?
I don't think so. Not in today's NFL with, you know, the offensive numbers that teams are putting up, you know. And another thing about wins and a quarterback, you know, we look at, and we all know this very well, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. Did the Baltimore Ravens beat us because of Trent Dilfer? No. You know, so it could be misleading. So that's why I think those offensive numbers that you said are really going to be what matters. And I don't think, you know, 3,200 yards and, you know, 24, 25 touchdowns is enough. You know, is he not turning the ball over? Is he being smart? Is he throwing it away? Is he not giving up, you know, the 10-yard sack when he can throw the ball out of the end zone or to the sideline? Getting out of trouble, staying in field goal range, doing all those little things.
I think it comes down to the eye test. So put your Joe Shane cap on, boys. Tommy, season ends today. What are you doing with Daniel Jones? Walk, tag, long-term deal.
I'm going to give myself another option here. Short-term, 1 or 2 years. You know, take it or leave it. Lower money. Come back and prove it. Otherwise, you can walk. 20 to 25.
Tag is 22.
Million.
Do you want to just take him for one or you take him for two?
It's 32. It's 32.
No,
for
tag,
sure.
Tag is over 30.
I was thinking about the transition tag.
Yes. Okay.
All right. That's so good. We got a two-year deal in the 20s. Disciple.
I think I'm letting him walk, honestly. Here's what you do. You get your bridge quarterback. You really focus on building the team. And then you go trade up for your Josh Allen, your Patrick Mahomes. Once you have the team around him. I'm not saying those guys grow on trees, but I'm saying if this front office eventually really believes in one of these prospects, which I think they will, think about it. Andy Reid was with the Chiefs for 5 years before they even got Mahomes with Alex Smith. And they still succeeded decently
Alex
with freaking Alex Smith.
Alex Smith is a pretty goddamn good NFL quarterback.
Bullshit.
No.
He's above average.
You can
win
Super
he's
Bowls
average.
With above average. Alex Smith was damaged by the fact that he was the number one overall draft pick.
Is Daniel Jones above
Isn't that
average?
The conversation that we're having right now? I think he absolutely could be.
It could be, but I feel like if you have to think about it, do you really know?
No, we're just going to go ahead and hit the cue the gavel.
Hold on.
Enlighten me.
You looked at Justin Herbert play like 3 games. You knew right away that dude was a real. He was him. Himothy, as the kids say today.
Kids. lucky for us, we're going to have this discussion in another week. So in the meantime, the court is adjourned. Let's shift our focus to the man, Mr. Joe Shane. Gentlemen, trade situation. We just had a big trade deadline pass here shortly after the Seattle debacle. Did we like what we did? Did we like what we didn't do? What about what happened before? Are we Donka Shane right now? How are we feeling?
you know, I had that Yankee fan feeling going into the trade deadline. You're expecting something to happen. They got to make a deal. They got to improve this team. And then nothing happened, right? The deal that shipped Kadarius Toney out, we picked up a 3 and a 6 for a guy that is only on the field 50% of the time. I liked it. I'm fine with him going there. And if he turns into Tyreek Hill, it'll be tough. If he turns into Mecole Hardman, how good does that trade look? But by the end of Tuesday, I'm happy, because what were we bringing in that was going to this year say, hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl? You look at all these trades that were made. Joe Shane has a plan. I'm fine with not deviating from that plan, because we're still 6-1, then now 6-2. Look at all the receivers that got moved. Claypool, a 2. He's gone after this year. Robbie Anderson, Arizona gave up a 6 and a 7 for a guy that might not do much. You know, the one guy I was looking at and going, this guy could help us, he's a pro, Brandon Cooks, doesn't get moved. But is an aging Brandon Cooks doing anything for us after this season? Maybe he gets.
He's also due $18 million but does he help? Next year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
he's so, also he also might be released. They said so. That's something else to watch.
So for a 2, a 3, we're giving up draft capital. If Daniel Jones is not the guy, we finish 9-8, 10-7. You may need picks to move up if you want to go after one of these big quarterbacks that's coming out next year, or you wait a little bit. I'm fine with not giving anything up. The one guy that really did pique my interest because it was a future move was a Jerry Jeudy, where he's got that 50-year option. But what was Denver asking? Or was Denver saying, no, we're not interested in dealing him? So I'm happy with Joe Shane sticking to his plan. Look to improve the team, as the season goes. And, you got a lot of money in free agency next year. And you added some more draft capital.
Yeah, I was always fascinated by the narrative that the Giants were intrigued in Jerry Jeudy, because it just doesn't make sense from my perspective why sure, I understand why we would be, but were the Broncos ever going to do that? And someone was going to give up a first round or a second and multiple picks? Never made sense to me. Disciple, thoughts?
I was kind of bummed because I think everybody, especially there was a lot of Giants fans that were kind of like, why didn't we make a move? Like, Joe Shane's a failure. Like, people are so dramatic. I think that the fans really wanted a shiny new toy after seeing 5 weeks of David Sills, Marcus Johnson, yada, yada. And, you thought that they would probably want to be replacing Tony with somebody else. The bottom line is, you get 2 picks, you're loading up. There's plenty of holes on this roster, and a compensatory third is a pretty nice pick, They got it for the diversity hire of Ryan Poles with the Chicago Bears. And it's now a Giants pick. I like it. I mean, I was a little disappointed when they didn't make a move, but I'm not mad.
Let me make this very clear. I think Joe Shane has done an absolutely phenomenal job, and I'm so thrilled to have him right now as the head of this organization. And when you look at the return that you get from Tony, you have to be okay with it from the perspective of, Daniel Bellinger was a fourth round pick. Like third round picks at the end are
that's where the GMs make
exactly,
their money.
Third like they're valuable round, picks. Baby. Now, yes, was I looking forward to Tony getting back on the field and the idea of having Tony Robinson and Saquon Barkley and adding what was probably going to be our best offensive player, Sanz Barkley, post bye? Yes, I was. There was some disappointment, but it's got to be a culture fit. I mean, look, this kid has done nothing but come out and say shit that it makes him look terrible. And if he's not the guy that they want to build around in this locker room, I'm okay with it. Where I'm not okay, gentlemen, though, is the old adage, a bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. The Giants are 6-2. There have been better. Look at teams around the league this year. Do we really think that the Giants have a better roster than teams like Tampa Bay, the Rams right now? Like, you could have a better.
No, but they have a better coach than Tampa Bay, I think.
A far more talented team next year and lose more games than we have this year. There are so many variables, injuries, schedule, things coming together. God forbid we lose Wink Martindale to a head coaching job somewhere. Knock on wood, let's hope that doesn't happen. These things are in the future and we don't know. What I do know is that the Giants are 6-2, having a pretty damn good chance of getting the playoffs, and then who knows what the hell happens. I think it was complete negligence not to go get something. Take a flyer. Denzel Mims. Somebody. I don't know. But something had to be done, and I'm upset about it. Sorry. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Joe. You know, I love you. I love you. But let's move on. We're going to go ahead and start with our weekly segment, Huge Predictions.
What is that? It's huge, Tom, huge!
And we're going to be looking at the remaining schedule. So Huge Predictions is not brought to you by Facilo Automotive, but we're working on it. So if anybody knows their VP of marketing, please hit us up at bigblueallday.com. This week's Huge Predictions are going to be our predictions for the second half of the season. Let's take it. Disciple, we're coming to you first. Give me some divinations.
A huge prediction would be that Saquon Barkley finishes with over 2,000 scrimmage yards.
Okay. And how does that have any relevance to the rest of the schedule, out of curiosity? I love it. I love it, baby.
Oh. Listen. I'll tell you how it does, because the Texans' next game have the worst rush defense in the league. Saquon's going for 200. I mean, listen, they got some tough games late in the season. You're playing the Vikings in Minnesota, which is going to be a tough game, even though I do still think Kirk Cousins is a fraud when he's not playing at 1 p.m. on a Sunday. And now, let me tell you something. That game is not on a Sunday. It's on a Saturday, Christmas Eve. Could make a big difference, because Kirk Cousins' numbers statistically are much worse when he doesn't play Sunday at 1 p.m. For whatever reason, he's a creature of habit. I don't know. You've got two games versus Washington, which I expect, if they don't split, I'll be upset. I want the sweep. They're not that good, but they're getting better. And unfortunately, we play them late. The Lions, they got to win that game. You can't lose to Dan Campbell eating kneecaps. I'm sorry. I think there's a very good possibility that we're looking at 11 wins, man. I really do. The Colts, we're playing the Colts, dude. They look terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is he strikes me as a man who really, really loves his Jesus and Bible, so I think he's going to be distracted on Christmas Eve. However, though, Disciple, I don't know about them Lions. I know they are a far cry from the first couple of weeks, but that offense can score points. And
But defense stinks.
When's the last time the Giants have taken advantage of a bad defense? Like, us taking advantage of a bad defense and scoring 24 points. The Lions could put up 35. Okay.
We're due. Yeah, but the Lions put up like 6 points on average the last few games. They are cold as shit. They are cold as a moose's turd in northern Maine.
So with that, we got an 11-6 prediction out of you. Is that what I'm hearing?
That
raw way.
Fucking lock me in.
All right. We're going to start off next week coming out of the bye with a win at home against Houston. If you look at the home games, week 11, Detroit, that's a winnable game. Week 13, Washington, another win. Then you have a tough one. Week 14, you're home against Philly, who looks like one of the better teams in the league, definitely in the NFC. All right. Then you're playing Indy in week 17 at home, and you're finishing the year in Philly with nothing to play for and no Doug Peterson to screw us over. Revenge. We finish the season, get a win there. My prediction is Giants go 4-5 to finish the year, finish 10-7 in the wild card. Brian Daboll, your coach of the year. We tag Saquon and work out a long-term deal with him in the offseason, and he comes back. Daniel Jones, no longer the Giants quarterback.
Wow. Oh. So up until the end, I was so excited because I am a Daniel Jones guy. But Rahway, I would love to see that happen. And I hate to follow up your optimism with more optimism, because I think there is a possibility we're all setting ourselves and this audience up for a massive disaster in the second half. But there's a difference between diminishing your opponent or games that you quote-unquote should win versus games that you absolutely should not lose. And look, if the Giants are, we talk about progress, right? We've been talking about Daboll and moving forward. Beating the teams that you should beat, and there are not many of them with this Giants roster. There are very, very few of them. The Texans and the Lions are two. We got to be coming out of this 8-2 with a huge, huge Dallas Thanksgiving matchup, which we will lose. That will happen. That's just a guarantee.
Anything can happen on a short week.
Take it from me that they are going to ruin my Thanksgiving. Yeah,
and it's nationally televised.
They're going to destroy.
We're not ready for prime time.
Huge prediction: the Giants are going to have one massive upset in the second half, but they are going to lose the only games I actually care about. So bring out the brooms, get the Commanders the hell out of here. Daniel Snyder, if he's even the owner, get the fuck out of here. But they are going to get swept in return by the Eagles, and they're going to get smacked down by the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Motherfucker, you 2 times.
Hopefully the turkey has put me to sleep. But otherwise, 6-3. Colts, frauds. Sam Ellinger doesn't scare me.
Let me tell you what I'm scared of. I'm scared of spiders, snakes, and the IRS.
Vikings, again, I think they're overrated. That's our big upset. Let's go F the station. Let's fucking go.
12-5, but 2-4 in the division.
And hey,
not a good look. Not a great feeling. But listen, you still got it done. To have double digit wins this year is
insane.
Incredible. Literally, I can taste it. I can taste it.
But my huge prediction then also ends: all three of the four NFC East teams will be in the playoffs.
No, 100%. I do have a great.
All right. Well, since all three of us are living in fantasy land and believe that this team is headed for the playoffs and a strong second half finish, let's see how the heck we get there. So that leads us right into our weekly segment, Four Down Territory. And this week, we're going to look at the top four things the Giants need to do to make the playoffs. First down, who you got?
I got first down, and I really think that this team. The bye week couldn't have come at a better time. Let's get a little bit healthier. Let's get, I think Shane Lemieux is on his way back. Nick Gates is giving Nick Gates another 2 weeks to practice. He looked real good in his snaps in Seattle. You got Kenny Golladay coming back, and now with the departure of Kadarius Toney, you absolutely need at least something from Kenny Golladay. He doesn't have to be the $20 million receiver we pay for. I think we already took the L on that one. But we just have to be able to depend on Kenny Golladay to make those third and medium completions and win 50-50 balls if Daniel Jones has enough time to throw them. So, yeah, let's get healthy because we are one of the least healthy teams in the league, as Mac already alluded to.
This past week, it is the fifth worst. I'd have to double-check those stats. Ironically, maybe predictably is better. I believe the Eagles are the healthiest team in the league. But
yes,
I digress. So I heard a lot of offensive talk there, Disciple. I don't disagree with you. The health is the biggest piece, and thank God for the bye at this point. And, again, knock on wood, but two easier games easing into after that. Anybody on defense you're looking to get back, though? There was a lot of offensive talk about the line and Kenny Golladay.
I think the defense needs to continue to carry us. You know, if you can get Zimenez back,
he's playing really good ball too.
You know, Love's been playing well. There's talk in the air of him being a contract extension guy. You keep seeing development from Thibodeau on in the pass rush. And, if that defense continues to carry us, the offense still needs to improve, right? It needs to take a step up. So, we saw last week, 50 yards is not going to get it done on the ground from Saquon. He's going to need some help. Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson. We need to see these guys improve. We need to see some contributions from, guys like Kenny Golladay. Does Bellinger come back late in the season to help out? Is there a guy out there that we could sign off the street? There's been whispers of OBJ wanting to come in and, maybe he does something that he didn't do when he was here the first time and win a playoff game. Although I think he's going to somebody that's Super Bowl ready. We are a contender, but I really think it's for a wild card spot at best. So, can we improve the wide receivers through free agency, through guys that may be cut, as opposed to the guys we've been running out there with. But the offense has to step up. So hopefully these guys coming back on the offensive line, you know, Evan Neal, Bredesen, you know, Gates will be back in a couple of weeks, Lemieux, you know, and they're out on the field contributing. A little improved offensive line. Maybe you get a little more out of Daniel Jones. And, you know, he makes me look bad, and he's here next year. So
Tommy, it sounds like you're taking second down as the offense needs to take a step forward, which is chicken and egg situation because there are so many offensive players injured. Again, Galladay, starting wide receiver. We have 2 to 3 starting offensive linemen, depending on how you want to debate between Ben Bredesen and Nick Gates. There is a lot going on there. But as far as Daniel Bellinger, again, fluke accident. God, man, I hope that kid's all right. But
I think they said he's going to come back 100% by the end of the season. I think that they Pat Leonard, of all reporters, reported today.
Yeah.
And he loves me.
We got to be better on offense. You know, we're in the 20s when it comes to points scored and yards per game. You know, it's
what is improving,
improve,
though? So I agree with you. 21 in points scored, 26 in yards per game, 10th in turnover differential, which is not exclusively an offensive stat. I mean, those numbers, as bad as they are massive improvements over the last 2 years, which is very, very sad to say. What is improvement, though? Like, this team, I feel like, has been pretty good at red zone efficiency. Like, do we need to see – is it just the end of the day you got to score more points? Like, what are you looking for from the offense of taking a step forward? Because we're doing a hell of a job rushing the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to be real simple. We got to score more. We got to improve on third down. We got to put the ball in the end zone. So, obviously, we can run the ball. We've seen that. You know, whether it's Daniel Jones or it's Saquon. You know, Breida, even when he comes in for a play here or there, has looked good and gives, you know, Saquon, you know, one or two plays off here and there. But we got to be able to do more in the air. So we got to see these receivers play at a higher level. I know that's asking a lot, but between Slayton and Robinson, I think that's where you need to see it the most. Because at this point, the only thing that's keeping Kenny Galladay on the roster is what it would cost.
Yeah, you
to
ain't
cut
wrong. What I would say, I agree with all of that, and I want to add to this screen game. I think this team does not have a screen game, and we should be. I don't understand why. But third down, what do we got, Disciple?
Third down, the Giants have got to sweep the Washington Commanders.
Yes, thank you.
There's no excuse not to. I mean, I think the Giants are a better team, and you know, it's obviously a divisional game, and anything can happen. And you know, they swept us last year. We don't talk about those Jake Fromm days. Jesus Christ! But you know what? They led us to Shane and Dable. So maybe
the organization's
all destiny.
Dumps and fire. They're not worth our breath. So let's go Giants. Beat the Commanders. Fourth down.
Yeah.
What do we need?
You know, I'm gonna jump back on Kenny Galladay's back. He's got to be something. He's got to give us something. I think the thing we have to hope for is that he knows that he's playing for where his next stop is going to be, and he starts to, you know, that audition for 2023 and those 31 other NFL franchises, and we get something out of him. Because if we get anything out of him, you know, he was a number one in Detroit. Probably had a lot to do with Matt Stafford, but we got to get something out of this guy. If he contributes, I think that goes a long way towards, you know, the offense improving. It goes a long way towards the receiving core looking a little bit better, taking some of the pressure off of Daniel Jones, off of Saquon Barkley. You know, get open, take some pressure off the offensive line. But I know it's a big ask, but can we get anything out of this guy before he moves on and ends up, you know, somewhere else?
Honestly, the court of public opinion on Kenny Galladay has changed since the Tony trade. People are like, you know, because Tony said some dumb shit when he got traded. People are like, you know, we don't really like Tony. And then Galladay came out with this video. I mean, it was an interview in the locker room, and he's basically like, you know, I've never been a part of a winning team before, and I can't wait to get back out there with my guys. And like, and he was smiling, and like, it seemed to be better. I think that Cowboy game where he talked the shit, like, I don't get the ball. And he had that massive drop on third down in the Dallas game. It's like, maybe it humbled him a little bit to where he realized, like, you know, what's actually going on here. And he can just be a part of this winning formula. I really hope he can, you know what I mean? Even if he's a well, cut in the offseason, like
no matter what, no matter yeah, I mean,
yeah we just need something.
Calvin Johnson,
you know, it is. Yeah,
I will
dead
say,
cap,
I
dead cap. It's dead cap
because it is. Fine. I'm rooting for this guy, and you know, there's two reasons, three reasons. One, I like what he said post the Tony trade. Excuse me. Two, because we need to root for him, right? We got him. The Giants need, as you put
we
it,
need him. Always, we need him.
You just need something from this guy.
We need his production.
At least one of the better receivers on this roster. And the third reason is because if he is not better, forget another contract. If he is, he's talking about all the right things. Sounds like he's mature. He wants to be here. He wants to be work hard. He wants to get the next contract. If this dude can't get looks in this competition, he's going to be out of the league. Forget another contract. That means he's just a wash, scrub, shipper. So, four downs. Kenny Golladay, sweep those Commanders. Offense, get healthy. I think we're all on the same page. And I think that's going to do it for tonight, gentlemen. So, let's not continue to bicker over who killed who. And let's end tonight with the fact the NFL still is just not aware. The Giants are young.
They're New aggressive. York,
they're improving.
Giants.
Football.
Tommy, I'm Mac. We're Big Blue all goddamn day. Good night.